no other name under heaven given by you by which we are saved except the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. We thank you, Father, that you have revealed yourself to us in Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we pray now that your Holy Spirit would continue to fill our hearts and help us to truly appreciate what it means to be followers of Christ and what it means to be citizens of this United States of America. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you were to travel to Europe, there's a lot of things you can see and do. You could go to London and see Big Ben and Buckingham Palace, the home of the Queen. Go across the English Channel to Paris and gaze up at the Eiffel Tower or walk the Champs-Élysées. Then travel to Italy and go to Rome and enter the Colosseum. Or maybe go across the way to the Vatican. Lots you can see and do in Europe. And I suspect along the way you would have reminders of America. You know, things like McDonald's, Coca-Cola. I guess there's even a Disney World in Europe? I don't know, is that still going strong? Yeah. And certainly the movies at the cinema, Hollywood movies, you know, we export that. But there is one thing in Europe that is more American than anything else, more important than anything else on that continent in terms of the United States, more important, I believe, even than the embassies. And what that is ultimately echoes throughout all eternity, what has been accomplished by virtue of that sacrifice will be known for all eternity. It will be in the record books of the Lord God. You know what I'm talking about? You can put that up on the screen. What I'm talking about is our American military cemeteries. These cemeteries are found throughout Europe. What you're looking at right now is the one in Cambridge, England, where 3,800 airmen and sailors are buried, men who were shot down or who were in convoys that were sunk. And notice what each man, and there are a few women in the mix, but what each is represented by. Each is represented by a simple white stone cross or a Star of David. I'm pointing to one that just has the Star of David at the top there. And you would find a number in France, in Normandy. You would find 9,000 of our men buried. You can see the shores of Normandy just to the upper right. And you go to Belgium, you go to Holland, you go to Italy, and you would find again thousands upon thousands of these crosses intermixed with Stars of David. And it wasn't just in Europe. If you cross the Mediterranean to the Muslim nation in North Africa and Tunisia, you would find another American military cemetery with the flag waving proudly and the crosses and the Stars of David, 3,000. Our largest, though, military cemetery overseas is found in the Manila, Philippines. 17,000 buried, again, represented by the cross. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but today that would never be allowed. In our military cemeteries, you cannot erect a cross. In fact, there are some military cemeteries, you may have heard in the news, the one down in San Diego where there's a cross up there on the hill that folks were trying to seek to take down, and I forgot how, if it was upheld by the Supreme Court, I think it may have been, but you could not do that today. You must have a headstone, and you can put a cross on the headstone, but you can't just have a freestanding cross because, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. But thankfully, after World War II, this wasn't a problem. And our nation chose the simple but elegant, profound way of expressing what they did. I find it very significant that we've got over 120,000 crosses spread in about 10 different nations overseas that are a testament to the great sacrifice of our men and women in battle. We all know that tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day that our nation remembers those who have given their lives in service of their country. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes growing up, Memorial Day, when you hear Memorial Day, it isn't always this sacrifice that comes to the forefront. Usually it is, oh, I'm getting together with family. I'm going to have some picnics. There's those sales I've got to get to. It's the start of the summer. And in fact, as I was preparing for this sermon, I read that one of the reasons why this stuff kind of gets pushed in the forefront is because back in the early 70s, the government made all the holidays uniform and sought to transfer all the holidays to Monday so people could have three-day weekends as much as possible. And so what happens with Memorial Day, which is really a sacred holiday for our nation more so than any other outside of the religious, you know, Easter and Christmas, what happened is that people just kind of forget about it. And so Memorial Day, our attendance in church is usually one of the lowest in the year because people are out going out, having their picnics and going on travel. Now, I can't blame them. It's a three-day weekend. We don't always get a lot of three-day weekends. But we lose sight of the significance because here's the thing. There are, in a lot of countries, there are Memorial Days. They're called in the British Commonwealth Remembrance Day. And in Russia and Germany, they all remember their war dead. But there is something different about the United States because Memorial Day is not just a day to remember those who have died for our nation in battle. It is a day to remember why they died, for what reason. It was not just for us, their fellow citizens. It was not just for their fellow soldier, airman, sailor, or marine. They died for the values of our nation. They died for the principles of our Declaration of Independence, of our U.S. Constitution. They died for the words which we all hold dear. And I quote, the beginning of the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That is, they just are. That all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Where in history, of all of history, can you find such thoughts? Nowhere. Where is the closest place that you can find the basis for these thoughts? It is in the Word of God. It is in Genesis 1, where we read that in the beginning, God created man, female, and male and female, He created them, made in God's image. We are all equal before God in the fact that we have all been made in the image of God. The founders understood this. But more importantly, God, we're told in Genesis, it says He blessed them and He said, go multiply and fill the earth. Go and have life. Have liberty, yes, but liberty is not simply freedom. Liberty is not license. Liberty is responsible freedom. Liberty is freedom with boundaries and the pursuit of happiness that they would accomplish all that they could be. But here's the thing. It isn't just the pursuit of happiness for the sake of happiness. It is the pursuit of happiness in relation to God. That's what the framers understood. That all that was said was based within the framework of God's moral law, that which is consistent in the Old and New Testament. And then we read these profound words in Article 1 of the Bill of Rights, and I quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. You see, in Europe, even though Europe was Christian, there were state churches. There were churches that were part of the government, and it's still to this day. So the churches actually are getting taxes from the government. And so Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. In other words, the government is not to prohibit the exercise of one's religion. And brothers and sisters, that is more than just the freedom of worship. Our President Obama and even the presidential candidate, Clinton, they were all for talking about freedom of worship, but that is not what it says here. It goes beyond that. It is no law prohibiting the practice of one's religion. And so that means worship goes beyond the four walls of any church. And then it continues. Or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. That everyone should have the right peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That, my brothers and sisters, is what the United States flag represents. That is what our men and women have and are dying for this very day. You know, you heard me say on Easter that though we live in a visible and physical world, what is most important in life is not what we can see. What is most important in life is the invisible realm of God and the invisible realm of the human heart, where our ideas and thoughts and desires reside. And these are not just... They do not just include how we can take care of oneself, but also how we interrelate with other people and with God. You see, what happened 240 years ago was a grand experiment. The founding fathers understood this. They said so. Never before had a government have been based on the premise that everyone has basic God-given rights and that everyone should have the right to speak freely and to practice the religion and to assemble and to petition the government for grievances. Never before did we have this. And so the blessing was that our government was to be based on the principle of God's word, the Bible. In other words, God's moral law. John Adams, president, said in a speech to the military in 1798, he warned his fellow countrymen, and I quote, he said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." In other words, the only way that our nation can survive is if our people are morally grounded, if our people are religiously grounded. And in the context of that time, that meant the Christian and Jewish faith. And he was addressing military folks. And so what he was saying is that the force of arms cannot guarantee alone our government. It has to come from the heart of the people. It has to come from the invisible realm. And that, my brothers and sisters, is why Memorial Day is so important. Because what happened since 240 years ago? What happened? We had ideas that were promulgated by certain folks. Think of Adolf Hitler. Think of the Japanese. Those ideas were put into action, and those ideas resulted in certain things that happened. And so what you had is a conflict of ideas. Think of the communists. They spread their ideas. It impacted others. There was this conflict. And if it was not for the United States of America, Nazism would have prevailed. Who saved the British ultimately? Yes, the Spitfires of the Battle of Britain saved England, but it was because we were supporting England militarily with aid. Who helped the Russians as the Germans were on the outskirts of Moscow? It was the United States. Who stopped the Japanese? It was the United States. The founding fathers had no idea that this grand experiment that they were starting 240 years ago would actually be the bulwark that stopped fascism, Nazism, communism, and it's the only bulwark right now today that is stopping fundamentalist Islam. Look around you. Look at what's going on. Thank God for the United States of America. And even with all our warts and with everything that's wrong, thank God. And so Memorial Day matters, and I close with this, for three reasons. It matters for us as a nation because it reminds us that what we have came at an incredible cost, that freedom is not free, and that we need to remember where we've come from, and that in one generation we can lose all that we have. It matters to us spiritually Because those crosses point us to the ultimate cross, the cross of Jesus Christ. While those crosses remind us that we have freedom from tyranny and totalitarian government, Jesus Christ's cross reminds us that we have freedom, like I told those children, as the waters of baptism represent, we have freedom from our own sin and selfishness, that He helps us break that bond. We have freedom from the curse of death, and we have freedom from spiritual evil. That freedom can only come from the cross of Jesus Christ. So Memorial Day is a way to spiritually remember the ultimate sacrifice of Christ. And then finally, personally, it matters to us personally. You know, it's called Memorial Day for a reason. We remember. And the fact of the matter is, all of us need to be in the habit of remembering. You see, we don't come to church only to keep the Sabbath holy. That's one reason why we come to church, but that's not simply the main reason. We don't even come to church simply to gather together with other believers, even though that's very important. We don't even come to church simply to worship God. That's the most important, but ultimately we come to church to what? Remember. Jesus said on the night before He died, He was celebrating the Passover meal, the Jewish Passover meal. And what did He say? He broke the bread and He said, "This is My body, which is given for you. Whenever you do this in remembrance of Me." And then He took the cup of wine and He said, "This is My blood of the new covenant. Blood that has been shed for you and for the sins of many, for the world. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of Me." Why do we have to remember? Why is it important to come back every week, in every day, worship the Lord or be with the Lord? Because our bodies and our minds need repetition. That's where discipline comes in. I mean, think about it for a moment. I don't know of a single person who's been successful in life, whether it be in athletics, whether it be in education, whether it be in music, whether it be in any type of work, unless they did things repetitively and unless they kept pressing on even when things were difficult. I don't know of any relationship that is long-lasting, whether it be a marriage relationship, whether it be a family relationship, whether it be a friendship, that didn't have to work hard in it, where there were times where there was conflict, that you had to press on, that you had to press through it, that you had to work hard. And yet what happens today in our culture, because we take things for granted, things are so easy, we look at our spirituality and we approach our spirituality as if it's a buffet that I can kind of pick and choose what I want. Or it's a comfy couch that as soon as I'm not comfortable, for some reason I'm going to get up and find another comfy couch. Our spirituality, it shouldn't be that way. Spirituality takes work. There will be times where we might be bored. There will be times where we might be complacent. There will be times maybe that we're discouraged in our relationship with God or maybe our relationship with the church. But God says, you've got to press on. Memorial Day reminds us of that. It matters to the nation. It matters spiritually. It matters to each of us personally. And baptism is just the beginning point for baby Eli. Eli has a wonderful future ahead of him. He has a lot going for him because of his parents, because of his grandparents, because of this church, and ultimately because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But baptism is not the end. It's just the beginning. There's a lot of work that still is yet to be done so that Eli can fulfill his God-given destiny, just like there's a lot of work still yet to be done for each of us so that we would fulfill our God-given destiny, just as there is still a lot of work to be done for our church family to fulfill our God-given destiny. Memorial Day reminds us to remember. To remember the sacrifice for our freedoms in the visible realm, to remember the great gift and sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our freedom spiritually first, and then that transcends into the physical realm, and ultimately to remind us that each of us personally, we have a decision to make. Not just to say, yes, I'm going to follow, but to keep on keeping on. That, my brothers and sisters, is why Memorial Day matters. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.